Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are Laura O'Mahony, Ty Kickey, and Dominic McHale, and together we are. This is Chattitude, a wonderful podcast that we are about to present to you. Today we are talking about a very uplifting topic, if I may say that, and that is the topic of happiness.
Yeah, we decided on happiness. I think we're thinking of taking terms. We're not quite sure what we're going to say. We're trying to force each other, I think, to be spontaneous as we can.
Well, you see,
be.
I think it's a natural progression because last time we talked about New Year's resolutions, if I'm correct.
That's right. Correct. Yeah.
So ultimately, the New Year's resolutions are to try and make your life happier. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Well, improved, yeah. And I suppose improvements lead to happiness.
I agree.
What'd you say?
Hmm.
What I don't think, though, is that, and this is something that I've only come to realise recently, I don't think happiness should be the default state, or we shouldn't look at it as the default state.
Okay.
I think happiness is nice when it comes, but you shouldn't expect it to be the case all the time.
No.
Well, I accepted that there can be a lot of pressure to be happy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a kind of a sense of like you must live your best life. We'll say if you look at like memes or mims or whatever they're called, it's like you must live your best life.
Are definitely
you
not being mims anyway.
I don't think anyone says mims.
Me.
But that, mams.
Me ma'am. But that like you have to, there is a pressure to be like your best version of yourself, doing things that make you happy every day. And as you say, sometimes it's just about being, as opposed to having to always be under pressure to be happy.
I was talking to a friend of mine about Christmas recently, and they said that Christmas is a time where they feel that they should be happy. So regardless of what's going on in their life, it seems to them, I just thought it was an interesting point that advertising is telling you this is happiness season. You really need to be happy, and there's something a little bit like made him feel a bit uncomfortable because he happens to be going through a difficult time. Do you know?
I think if you feel that If I'm not happy, then there's something wrong with me. I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't expect to feel it. It's nice when it comes along, but just because you're not happy doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you, I think.
But could I put something in, just a differentiation to kick the whole thing off? Are we talking about contentment when we talk about happiness a little bit?
I think...
Not just us, but I think everyone a little bit.
I think contentment is actually kind of underrated. Contentment is a lovely state to be in, I would suggest.
Because contentment is what I would aspire to more than happiness, I think.
Well, if I can bring it to the scientific perspective for one moment, it's actually two different systems in the body. So what I would say happiness possibly is, or something like elation, that's the dopamine system.
Yeah.
That's what you get, like if you take cocaine, if you drink a sugary drink, if you do something really pleasurable, you get a hit of dopamine. Whereas contentment is actually determined by serotonin.
Yeah.
So they're two very different systems in the body. And I think what people are often looking for is serotonin, but they actually get it. They try and they get dopamine instead.
But not to in any way disagree with what you're saying, because you're much more versed in science than I am. But like there are some drugs that work on the serotonin system as well. Like for instance, ecstasy stimulates serotonin as opposed to dopamine. Is ecstasy doing is mimicking the effects of contentment then?
I believe so. And I haven't taken ecstasy, so I don't know what the physical...
Me neither.
Yeah. Well, Tyke, you might be able to enlighten us somewhat, I'm sure.
Not a lab rat for you.
Some of your friends have told you maybe what it's like.
I read a book about it.
All right. So we stay away from the drugs area, guys.
My uncle-in-law is a guard.
Okay. So steer clear of it.
An avant-garde.
But you know what, though? I think
Nothing for that, no.
People do... Avant-garde,
sorry,
very good.
Very good.
Give me a
slow burner.
I think that people don't realise that you have to put a bit of work into being happy. That you have to, like... Oh, his little hand is up here.
Hand is up now.
Are you talking about contentment there, though? Just to put you on the spot.
I probably am talking about contentment, but just this kind of a general state of happiness / contentment. I think people think that maybe they have a right to it or an expectation of it being their default mode or whatever. But you do have to like kind of wake up in the morning and put on your happy boots as opposed to your sad boots. And, you know, they both take a bit of work to lace up, if you will. But you know what I mean?
I've lost my sad boots. Full disclosure, I cannot find them.
They're not behind the couch, are they? Because I saw some boots behind the couch.
Could I jump in on... I think contentment, for me anyway, this is just me, I'm not basing this on any scientific facts, whatever. For me, contentment comes without baggage. So happiness, if it's associated with excitement, to use your logic there, which I think is sound, that like you could become excited or happy about, say, good news about work. Say you get like a text or something, you're after getting a gig, for instance. That's happy. It makes you happy. It's excited. The next thing comes into your head then is, am I going to be able to do it? Is there going to be other people in around the gig?
Quickly in the door after it.
Whereas contentment doesn't, for me, just it's a feeling. It mightn't last for ages, whatever, but when it's there, it comes without complications. There's no corollary to like, oh, will I be able to manage this contentment or whatever?
I feel like it's a state that you can kind of reside in though for a while. You can be content for a kind of prolonged period of time. And I think as well, something that I always try to do is like not always be looking for the big thing to make you happy. Like it doesn't have to be, we'll say, a present or your birthday or Christmas. Like it could just be, oh yes, I'm getting to make a cup of tea now and I'm going to have this cup of tea. And that's probably feeding into mindfulness, which I'm not mad about as a concept because I think it's a bit over put out there in the public realm, but certainly like enjoyment in the little things and not having a constant like not having your happiness completely depend on a big thing. I think it should be just like, oh, my favorite program's on, brilliant, or yes, I'm in the car for a while with nobody else, I can listen to Joe Duffy or something on Red FM or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like little, I think contentment and happiness are actually made up of all small little bits as opposed to one big massive thing.
I think what you're describing there is contentment, and I think you're quite right. Like, I think we can strive for that. We can strive to be content as much of the time as possible, and it is about being content just to be alive and just to be enjoying the smaller things in life.
But advertising tends to focus on happiness, I think. Advertising tends to focus on selling stuff, and stuff is usually associated with happiness and excitement rather than a warm contentment, I think.
Though I would suggest that a lot of January advertising then would kind of more zero in on people's like discontent and sadness. Yeah. And it's almost like I saw something about like before Christmas, it's like, go on, treat yourself, have this, you're an angel, you deserve it. And then in January, it's like, what have you done? Look at what you've done to yourself. You need to get into the gym.
You're a mess.
You know, I like, you have to be so careful with that because that can bleed into your kind of January mindset. As somebody who finds January appalling, I'm really trying to work against that this year and not be so infected by the absolutely universal thing that's been put out there to us, which is like, you should be miserable because you've made a mess of yourself over Christmas. Now you have to get yourself right again.
You get the January blues.
I do big time.
Do you really?
Oh, big time.
Really? Do you actually? You're a big Christmas person, I suppose, so it's a natural come down.
I've had to really work at it. And I think what's helped this year is that we have to work
towards the show
at the end of the month, so that like sometimes you mightn't see me till February. Do you know, St. Bridget's Day, out she comes. But like
making your crosses.
Yeah, weaving my little crosses. But no, I think January can be hard and it's really long. There's like 5 Saturdays in January. It's a big long and it's, you know, you feel like you do feel a bit like damaged after Christmas or whatever.
I don't put much scientific stock in things like horoscopes and what do you, is it astronomy or astrology?
Astrology.
I don't put much stock in it. But
are we hot?
No, you're okay. Fine. You're absolutely fine.
I have no idea when I'm
warm.
You're
fine. I'm keeping an eye on it. My birthday is in January.
Show off.
When, Dom?
It's not such a great thing. It's the 21st of January.
21st. That hasn't happened yet, has it?
No.
We can still have a do.
But the point I'm trying to make is that I don't think that the month of the year I'm born in affects me because of the alignment of the planets or the stars. Not that I know of. It could possibly be the case. Tyke's taking off his shoes again.
The boots are off, lads.
They might not
serious.
Be your sad shoes, but they're certainly making me sad.
Go on.
His
continue.
Sad boots are off.
My birthday is a time of year where people don't really want to go out, or they don't really want to celebrate, or they don't really want to eat or drink that much. Does that have a psychological effect on me going forward, do you think? It's like, I don't really look forward to my birthday that much because it's at a time of year people have just had Christmas, they're all back to work, they've got the January blues, they don't really want to celebrate.
I think your main issue there, Dom, is you need to find better friends. I definitely go out
and family
in January and your family. You need better family.
I've never come out for his birthday, though. Come to think of it, never.
We had to do for him for his 30th. Remember, we had a surprise party for him in his house.
I think I was in bed.
We all played board games.
You were in bed by 6:30 that night, I think. I do remember that was absolutely.
It
lovely.
Was a surprise because lots of his friends weren't at it.
That's true.
It was a surprise.
Well, I actually, I'm going to be honest, right? I hate having big parties organised for me.
And reggae.
I hate reggae.
Yeah.
I hate
You'll
sailing.
You'll find that out in an earlier podcast.
In an earlier podcast. It's not that I do hate reggae, but I don't appreciate it.
I hate birthday parties as well. Yeah, well,
particularly if I've got a mixed group of friends.
You're all right. We're not. Are you going to snap at me now?
No, I'm not going to snap at you at all.
Birthday guy.
I'm just a bit sad for you, but you don't like birthdays.
Can I explain why?
No, can I finish my point before you explain why?
Yes.
And then I have a point as well, guys.
Oh, I love it. I just hate them because, for example, if somebody goes to a lot of trouble for a birthday party for you, I feel like there's a pressure then on me to enjoy it.
Yes.
And there's a pressure. It comes back to this pressure to feel happiness. But like if it's a large group of people, some of whom don't know each other because they're from different social circles,
yes,
or whatever it is, you kind of have to mingle in between all the groups and make sure they're all having a good time.
Well, you've almost said my point. I'll still make my own point.
Please
I'm that
do.
Kind of
Put
guy.
It in your
make
own
it
words.
In your own way.
I'll make it in my own voice, maybe.
And in your own words.
I find as well, as, and I'm just speaking for myself here, I find as a performer, I get enough attention. And I think a birthday, in a nice way now, don't get me wrong, is about, it's my day, I'd love a little bit of attention for the day. There's nothing at all wrong with that. I just feel that I get enough as a performer that I don't... And the other thing as well is, I think marking achievements is quite nice. So like a little moments in, say, my career path where I've done something, where I've like, geez, I didn't know that I was going to be able to do that. I did that. Gathering for that, that's lovely. But actually marking your birthday, I haven't achieved anything there. That just happens to be the day I was born. It's not something that I look forward to say, geez, fair play to me, I survived another year on Earth. I don't look at it, maybe I should, but I don't. And I'm not running anyone down that does. But my last birthday party was when I was 8.
Oh,
interesting.
Well, I love fuss and hoopla.
Right? I see, I think we're the opposite in that regard. Go on.
But having said that...
How do we get together?
What I would love is like a surprise, right? Of like all of my friends and, oh, it's your birthday and big surprise, right? But I can never let it get to that point because we say my birthday is the 12th of June, right? About, I'd say, the end of May, I'd be like...
You're planning
oh.
it.
No,
You're
I'd be like, nobody's going to do anything for my birthday, I suppose. So my husband, again, Shane, you know him from previous podcasts, he gets no opportunity
Don't
to...
Don't stir the soup, Shane.
Don't say basket case. Don't say basket case.
But he gets no chance to plan a surprise because I'm always like, and I suppose there's nothing planned for me. So even if he has something planned for me, like I'm like, and like it's my birthday now tomorrow and I bet you have no card. Will I buy my own card? So even if he has like the best card ever planned for me or whatever, I wreck it. And it was like that for my 30th. I found my 30th very stressful because I was like, what I'd love now is for Shane to organise my 30th. But then I was like, but then he won't get a cake or he'll forget this. So I was like, I'll organise it, but I'll kind of pretend it's through him. So I was like, Shane, look, I'll organise it, but like you can kind of be at the helm of it or whatever.
So
but
you micromanaged your own surprise party.
I just found it. I was actually at a surprise party before where the woman whose birthday it was said, and now these children are going to sing happy birthday to me as a surprise. And
oh,
they came
Jesus.
Out and sang her happy birthday. Oh, I'm not quite as bad as that.
Surprise.
Now sing happy birthday to me as a surprise. But I find that my 30th then I found quite stressful because I had that vulnerable sense on the day of sure nobody's going to come to this. And that then I went to the trouble of throwing myself a 30th and nobody came and that just makes you so sad. Now people did come but like the stress of the day then wasn't worth that.
I think I had a great 30th because I actually went to Berlin on the day for it. I went away with Simon and my brother
Garfunkel?
Simon. And a friend.
No.
Not Simon and Garfunkel.
No. Although just, what a 30th
what a
that 30th
would
be.
Berlin with Simon and Garfunkel. Yes, please. But I ended up having like 3 or 4 small parties. One with
yes.
my family, one with a certain group of friends,
yes.
another with another group of friends. That was my idea.
Yes.
Smaller groups, no need to kind of make sure everyone's tying together. Lot less pressure.
Can I jump in and
jump
trump
in
you?
With both,
and trump you?
Both unshoed feet.
I had my 30th in Poland for the European Championships that Ireland were in.
Gdansk.
That was my 30th.
That's good.
You know,
good.
So there's a couple of buddies of mine and Poland. Do you know, in the height of summer, lovely weather, lovely footballs.
Now, can I just add in at this point that unfortunately we've just received breaking news that the mayor of Gdansk has in fact been stabbed.
Well, why are you going down this route, Dan? That won't be breaking news when people are listening to the podcast.
No, but we have just received
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, we have. Yeah, yeah.
And may the Lord have mercy on
exactly.
him. And we'll move on.
And actually, just as we
Can
have
we
you there...
Can we take a minute silence?
No.
Could we take
dead
I think we should, because I actually met him. I actually met him.
Tell us about meeting him instead of a minute silence.
Oh, sorry. Hold on a second. That was... Oh, another Polish city. Dead air. Where else were Ireland playing their games in the Euros?
Stalin.
Poznan.
Are you all right? Poznan. You have it, bud.
Okay.
I met the mayor of Poznan. And to the best of my knowledge, he's fine.
Ah, thank God. We don't have to do any acknowledgement.
So we don't need a minute
of
silence of the mayor of Gdansk.
6 years ago. Because 6 or 7 years ago, there could be a new mayor
well,
now.
Basically, our condolences go out to the mayor of Gdansk and his family.
My 30th was in Ballycotton and I was breastfeeding.
Wow.
No, it was still a party.
Like, for the party, like.
And people used to come in and I'd be like, do you want a drop, lads? Here it is. It was a meal party. No, but I was breastfeeding, so I had to kind of keep snaking off to feed the baba. And actually, in the end, I gave her a bottle and she puked it up all over my mother.
That's quite a gift on the third
night. We were at it. We had a lovely night.
It was great.
I had it?
Yeah, love. You brought me a present and everything.
Oh, I got you a big poster of
you
yourself.
You did, of myself, which obviously was nice. The dream.
That suited you.
Yeah.
All right, Ty, I have a question for you.
No problem, boy.
Oh, no question for me then.
You've got...
No fucking problem, boy. Talk on.
It's a beautiful sunny day in Cork City.
Thank you.
You've got no work to do that day. You've met your deadline the previous day, whatever it is. What does Ty... Get your feet down off the table, please.
Please, it's making a thumping noise.
What does Ty Hickey do to make himself happy?
Beautiful sunny day.
Beautiful sunny day.
Get himself into the cinema. Get out of it. I'm talking Bad Boys 2. I'm talking Cans of Monster.
Dark Room.
No. It's a beautiful summer's day in Cork City. I have nothing to do.
What makes you happy?
I mean, Fitzgerald's Park pops into my mind if I'm in Cork City. I'd go for a little stroll there, maybe.
You'd almost certainly be wearing a vest.
I'd be wearing a vest. I'd be getting my tan on.
And shorts.
Yeah, I'd be wearing a vest and shorts, yeah. I'd say I'd go to Fitzy's Park. I like strolling around. I like strolling around Patrick Street. Like, it's one of my favourite streets.
He loves Patrick Street.
Tyke
so
absolutely loves
I do,
Patrick
and you know what?
Street.
All jokes aside, I actually just love it. I just love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Laura, I'd like to ask you the same question.
Am I in the city?
I'm going to expand your horizons a little bit. You could be in the city or the larger county.
Favouritism.
Yeah, well,
I'm stuck in the cinema for the day.
You're in the cinema watching Bad Boys 2 with a can of Monster.
I think, would you stop thumping your feet up on the
thing?
You can
put them
up to
just don't
pump. No,
you're fine.
He's like Thumper out of Bambi.
Thumper.
Was Thumper in Bambi? Anyway,
dead air, love Jesus. Dead mayor of Gdansk.
I would.
God rest his soul.
Dead mayor of Gdansk.
Lads, we really shouldn't be doing that. Like,
I would probably take the children to the beach, to Gary Vaux probably, which is kind of down by where I live. Don't come near my house. And I'd like let them paddle and do their little digging and stuff. Now, if I didn't have the kids with me.
Yeah, I think that's what he's getting
at. You want, is that? Like, kind of, it's kind of like carefree, carefree.
Exactly. To make Laura happy, just like looking after number one, what would you do?
Oh, you see, like, I probably wouldn't stay out in it. I'm very pale, like.
Okay.
And I'd be roasted and have to get the tan
in
the after sun.
Can I specify,
I think I'd go
here,
to a spa.
We're not talking about a scorcher of a day now.
Oh, well then,
we're talking about just pleasant.
Sorry, no, my friend. I was Mexico 86 here in my head.
No.
I'm boiling out with you.
No.
I'm very
no.
Pale,
okay.
No. Very pale. Oh, in that case, I'd love to have, like, lunch. Lunch with friends outside and, like, loads of Prosecco.
Nice.
In a heat wave, Laura?
No, it's not. It's kind of like moderate.
Okay.
Like it's warm.
The modern. I could go into the modern for an hour and pass away an hour.
Nice.
Lovely
nice.
Air conditioning in there and then into the cinema.
Oh.
Now, sneezing Jesus. How are we doing for time? Do we just get the time update? That's perfect.
We're doing fine.
I just wanted to bring her in because she's part of the kind of thing now, I think.
She is.
Sneaking Jesus.
Could I just steer it a bit for a second?
Is he roaring?
Am I hot? You're not too hot.
Am I hot?
Don't think you're too hot.
I actually think you're too near.
Am I?
You're way too near, I think.
Oh, I'll go back a bit.
But then I think you're an absolutely lovely, lovely girl.
You're all a bit hot.
Oh, bring us down, Jerry.
So am I.
Oh, God.
Jeepers creepers.
Have we been roaring now for 17 minutes?
No, we're fine.
I just wanted to steer it a little bit into happiness. How are we going to get there? Are we happy? I mean, like, without getting too philosophical about it, are we happy now? Are you happy, Dom?
I think I am happy.
Okay.
No, I disagree. I don't think I'm happy.
Oh.
I think I'm content.
Yeah.
And this ties in with something that I was thinking of earlier on. The idea that, do you know the way people are kind of being told now, you're perfect just the way you are? I don't subscribe to that. I don't think it's the case for me, and I don't think it's the case for anyone.
Interesting.
I don't think anyone is perfect the way they are. I think everybody can prove.
Imperfect is a problematic word.
It is, but being told you're perfect just the way you are, I think is a bad way to look at
can
it.
Can I jump in?
Please.
I had a conversation with my good friend Emer, who I'd like to give a shout out to, actually, because she's an avid listener of the podcast, and I think that'd be a nice moment.
Hello, Emer.
Hi, Eames.
She's not the Hulk.
Could I call her Eames?
She's not
the Hulk. Does she go by Eames?
She'd get a huge lift from this.
Okay, Eames.
She's loads tough for, actually. She's an extremely successful and happy young lady herself.
Oh, good.
But she was actually making that point as well of, like, youngsters coming true now. And we were just chatting about, like, are they getting enough feedback, perhaps, on the things that they might improve on? It's something that's kind of happening where people are kind of getting to, I don't want it to sound like an old lad here now, but they're getting into the adult world and they haven't been checked, I think, as much as we might have been in our day, I feel.
I understand what you're saying, but when I speak to my children, I want them to know they can do absolutely anything in the world. They can achieve anything, but that's different.
That's
than
quite different.
Them,
I accept what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. So I'm not saying like you're perfect as you are and that to get anything in the world, you just have to sail through. I'd help them to get there.
I wouldn't say you'd have your kids beyond reproach. Like you're going to...
Oh, no, there's plenty of reproach.
Like I think there's a bit of a... I think we've lost touch with how to actually criticise somebody helpfully, like a helpful... kind of feedback kind of thing. And I think that's yeah that's just something to throw into
the mix. I find I'm very unopen to criticism.
Okay. why do you think that's the case?
That's good because though. That's great to say
I know that I've gotten better at taking feedback from people because I've stopped trying to defend myself when they're doing it. I stop myself from getting defensive. I stop my back getting up because it happens. You get that instinct, that urge to kind of, I need to defend myself here. This person's having a go at
me. I'm being attacked personally. That's
if
your instinct.
If you can get rid of that feeling, then your mind is open to actually take it on board. And whether it's right or wrong, listen to it. And then you make up your mind whether you're going to adopt it or not.
Let her talk.
I think that is interesting because I probably do feel attacked, even if the person was trying to be helpful. I'm quick to the defense, I would say. And also, sometimes I'm like, well, sure, what are you giving me feedback for? In a big, like, sure, like, I'm not going to take feedback off of you. You know, I think people's timing of it as well. Like, I think when you're a performer, they do feel like they could offer you a critique. I remember coming off stage and like out into the foyer and somebody like launching into the kind of the merits of my performance. And I was like, oh, sure, this is a terrible time to be doing this. Like,
okay.
I'd be much more approachable in the morning if you have like pointers. And also, you're not a director or anything. You're just Johnny Lad.
They'd have to actually go home and stay in her gaff that night.
But if you do not stir whatever Laura is cooking. If you
I just feel, and do you know what? I know I'm not beyond reproach, but I'm like in a world where there's an awful lot of like meanness and nastiness. I personally don't feel the need to help anyone in a critical way. Do you know what I mean? I don't feel the need to say, now, Dom, what you're doing wrong there now, and I'll talk you through it. I feel the need to be supportive and bolster you as opposed to critiquing you. And I don't view any kind of critique as being helpful and supportive, even though it possibly could be.
I think it depends on who's saying it and why they're saying it. If they're saying it to put you down, that's not helpful.
And I think all the time I'm like, oh, her, oh, she'd love to take me down a peg or two now. That's what I suffer from.
Okay, that's very honest of you to say that, though.
I think you're naturally quite competitive, Laura, though. Is that fair to say?
I wouldn't have thought that, but people have said that about me and I've come to accept that.
I'm not saying it as a negative either.
No,
I think it's quite positive. And I think
it makes you good at what you do.
Precisely. People who are competitive tend to be the ones who succeed because they're driven and they want to excel in their field.
Well, I think I might have said this. I don't know, did I say this before in a podcast or was it real life that they've kind of both merged into each other? But like when I go on stage to perform.
Yeah,
like,
you said
yeah,
this.
That yeah. I'm not performing for the well-wishers.
Podcast, actually.
Yeah. I'm not performing for well-wishers. In my head, I'm like, look at you, begrudger. Row B, you'd love me to fall on my arse here now and I'm going to blow you away to the point that you won't be able to critique me because you won't have a leg to stand on.
Can I pause you? Does that make you happy or content or both or either or neither?
I consider myself to be a very, very happy person.
No, you're even
content.
Saying that in a defensive way.
I know.
I would say.
Because I feel like you know the... I feel like you've an answer, have you? Would you think I'm happy?
No, it's just because I identify... No, not to get off you for a second. I identify what it's like to try and prove people wrong. I had a little bit of that going on as well, I think, like at some stage.
Yeah.
I have a little bit less of it now, I would say. I think I'm nowhere near the finished product, but I would just say for myself, it makes me happier to do things for myself now than to prove a lad up the road for me wrong when he said one time you're going to amount to nothing because you're a mess, you know, because if you're only doing it for that guy, there's
no
future in it.
No, I would say I'm doing it for myself, but it's like a little bonus that that guy's allergic now as well.
Okay. That's fair enough. Yeah,
I try to avoid using spite as a fuel in anything.
But it's human nature.
I think you're right in my case that it isn't spite, it is competitiveness.
I think so.
Or a kind of a desire to prove the opposite.
I think it was Frank Sinatra who said,
I did it my way.
Didn't he say New York?
Ladies and gentlemen,
New York.
Alan Partridge, Dominic Partridge. Frank Sinatra, if you don't mind me saying, said that the best form of revenge is success. And so, at least partly for him, it was like, I'll prove them all wrong with my massive success.
If you wait long enough by the river.
No, we're finished.
Eventually,
quotations
you'll
from
see
Frank
the bodies
Sinatra.
Of all your enemies
it
float by.
It was always intended to be quite a short section. It's finished.
Our revenge will be the laughter of our children.
Well, that's, I love that quote.
That's a great one.
And you're just trying to get me going now.
I knew that would appeal to Tyke. Yeah.
Mr. B. Sen.
Something else, and it's on the topic of not being perfect. I fear that nowadays everybody is convinced that they're special. And by its very definition, everyone cannot be special.
Slightly controversial, I think.
I don't think it is.
A bit Third Reich-y?
No, certainly not.
A bit Darwinian?
Oh, possibly.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Everyone cannot be special. Some people are special and some people aren't. Like, I grew up not being... I was never told, you're special. No, I was never limited, or I was never told, you can only go so far. But I was never told, like, you're special and you're better than other kids.
God, that's interesting. Like, I don't know, was I ever told that I was special? Like, that I'm, like, going to outsmart all the rest of them, or that you were the diamond amongst them all? But I certainly had a sense of, like, that I was... an angel and a princess.
That is a superb sentence. Oh, that's a superb.
How does one live their life knowing that they're an angel and a princess?
No, I don't think happily, I ever felt happily. Like an angel or a princess growing up. I
You're
have to
my
say.
Little princess.
No, I'm not saying you're particularly special anyway, but you're an angel and
a princess. Laura.
You couldn't just
Remember
be
that.
An angel.
At the same time, Dad. I think we're getting off topic.
We are.
I think we're getting off. We and I'd like just to keep, because I think I put you on the spot. Do you feel you are happy?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
I
feel
am
like
happy.
I haven't answered, yeah.
Yeah, if you, so you are happy, but you would you feel you're a little bit more content to use my, if you don't mind, my kind of differentiation?
I think it's more content than happy, because it's less of a roller coaster and more of just a sense of, I'm actually glad to be alive.
And would you
I
say
enjoy being alive.
You're getting happier as you get older?
100%.
Okay,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Laura Z. McSummer.
Oh, definitely getting happier as I'm getting older. Definitely. Because I think actually you become content and at ease with yourself as you get older as well.
Yeah.
That thing of not trying to impress people. Like, if I have an opinion now these days, I'm not filtering it through a kind of a prism of, I wonder what these people will think of my opinion. I'm like, I know this opinion, so I'm just going to say it. And the relief of having said my honest thoughts or whatever makes me happy then as well. I'd say I live in a pretty constant state of contentment and happiness. But within that, there's moments of irritation, which I'm also quite content with. Do you know what I mean?
Like, you're that's content just life. To be irritated.
Well, that's just life, that like there'd be something's going to bug you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but that's just, it's not a big deal. I don't have to dwell in it. It's just part of my day. Something annoying.
I
like
think accepting
petrol.
Accepting the fact that you're going to get annoyed by certain things.
Are there tweaks then though, to put you on the spot? What are the tweaks to, because surely we all want to be happier, or we want to be more content. For our listeners, what would be your tweaks to your own current barometer of happiness or contentment?
I would say, own less stuff.
I would agree
okay.
with that.
That's
yeah.
one of my big...
Minimalising.
Minimalising. Okay. I know it's not possible in every respect. Like, I would imagine having... I don't have children, Laura, but I'd imagine having children, necessarily, you have to have lots of stuff in order to be able to care for them properly.
You definitely have to have an amount of stuff.
Yeah, you have to have an amount of stuff, and you do accumulate a lot of stuff that you'd be like we look at the playroom every night and we're like, oh my God, I want to like turf half of that out. Because, you know, you like you buy your kids magazines and then rubbish toys come with them, and then it becomes the only toy they want to play with. And me and Jane are like, I want to throw it in the bin. But that's just, that's, that, yeah, I don't know.
Objects don't make me happy. I just wanted to jump in with that. I have no attachment to objects. I can never understand people that hoard. I watch those shows and I'm like, how is these things bringing you happiness?
Oh God, I'm not a hoarder at all, but it might seem like it in my house because I just don't, I want to throw the stuff out, but I don't have the intonation.
Do objects make either of you happy?
No. If I was in my room and there was a fire outside and I had to think, what item do I grab before I jump out the window? I honestly couldn't tell
you. If somebody was shoveling all my stuff into a bag now and throwing it out the door right now, I'd go back, I'd kiss the guy in the forehead.
Look out the window over there. Somebody is currently shoveling all the tight stuff into a bag.
However, though, I would say, like, you know, when you like buy even something like a cheap little glittery bag in pennies, that'd give me a moment of like, that's all, I'm dopamine.
That's dopamine right there. And that's
well,
exactly
that's angel
what I'm
and princess
about.
Behavior, I think.
And can I add to this, right? Recently, I was in France for Christmas, and when I came back,
show off.
I know. when I came back, we had like a family gathering, and my two nieces and my nephew were opening presents. Mm. And I observed something that kind of horrified me in one way, and I just thought it makes perfect sense in another way. Literally, my niece would open a present and she would be in awe for about 30 seconds. And then she'd be like, okay, I want to open my next one now.
I would suggest, what age is your niece?
She is, I better get this right, she's around 3.
And I would respectfully suggest it's an age thing, because last year when Polly was opening presents, she was literally like, more, 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 so the whole time when she was 3. But this year, she appreciated and savoured every single one of them, like to the point that we even really were like, my God, like she hasn't looked at this one yet because she's so involved with the first one. She took time with everything and appreciated everything. It's their emotional development of understanding that these are lovely presents to be enjoyed.
I also heard somebody recently talking about how I was with a friend and he bumped into someone he knew, and she was talking about her son and getting Christmas gifts for him, and he's like a teenager or something, and she's like, he wants the iPhone X, so you know, I've got to cough up for that. And I'm kind of thinking, how much is an iPhone X? It's about what is it, €1,000?
My Alfie, like, wouldn't be getting it.
I want a car.
I got RoboCop.
And you lost
and him. I lost
We're still
him.
Looking goofball. For a guy. I think just put a shout out for that again.
Just to clarify that, I'm looking for a RoboCop. He's maybe about 8 to 10 inches tall.
He's literally yay high.
He's yay high. No, you can't see what I'm doing with my hands, but he's
imagine
yay high.
Yeah.
But like, he cost about £7, I'd say.
And look to happiness he brought
And I
you.
Was thrilled with him.
Yeah.
Where on earth have we gone in order to...
Like, you were kept back over him, weren't you, when you lost him?
And you were
I took
massive
about a year to recover. I was about 5 foot 10.
I don't mean to, like, in any way detract from anything you're saying, Dom, but a lot of it is like media speak. It's stuff that's put out there in the public realm. Children are looking for too much. Everyone wants technology. And I actually think we have to fight against that as people and say, do you know what? You might be spinning that yarn to me, but I know plenty of children that appreciate this stuff they get. I know plenty of children that aren't always on technology, plenty of adults. I think it's not fair to let the mass media put these notions down our throat and not fight back.
But this I politely disagree with that, though, because I do think kids are getting too much stuff these days.
But this wasn't
not
the mass
all
media.
Kids.
This was a woman who I heard speaking about her own son, and she's going to buy him an iPhone X.
Like, how much? Did you get so much toys at Christmas that you wouldn't get around to opening them? Because I certainly didn't.
I was an angel and a princess.
Sorry.
So. Well, Laura, I'd imagine, got kind of golden kingdoms and wings.
There was barely a spare bit of floor in the room.
Like, my nephew Finn is the greatest kid in the world, as far as I'm concerned. You know, lovely manner, very appreciates everything. Got so much stuff this year that there's still 2 Santa presents unopened. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's and everyone, and I'm totally guilty of it. I get him stuff. He's so well loved. It's like throwing, I mean, all kids are well loved. Do you know what I mean? But like, I think, you know, it comes to the point where I'm thinking going forward, I'm going to say, like, I'll bring you on a day out. I'll do, you know, just stuff that's going to, he's not going to remember the thing I got him in Smith's, I don't think, like, you know what I mean? But he'll remember a day out with me a bit more. And I know this sounds really old man-ish, like, but I don't know, where's it going to end? There's going to be commercialism is like, it's going to, there's a glass ceiling somewhere approaching, is there, or is there not?
But I think on top of all of that, so even if your child is getting loads of stuff, then it is still your responsibility to check in on their happiness and contentment and teach them that it's not connected to objects and stuff. You have to parent then on top of everything else as well. It's okay to shower them with presents once you're parenting and once you're not allowing them to think that the world is all take.
But not, is it part of the parenting? Is the showering part of you expressing yourself in parenting? Like, here's like 400 million toys.
I love my children and I'm like, this would make them so happy. Their little faces would be so thrilled.
What's the real cost?
I can't argue with that. Question. I can't argue with that.
I know.
That's unarguable with, like.
Guys, we could continue talking about this for another hour, I'd say.
I love my child too.
I know you do love it.
She's getting nothing for the next 3 years.
She's going to have
a little
day out.
She got enough this Christmas.
Till I get another commission.